Here, the old gods are dead.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, I have something to talk about.
Hiya, this is a Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca William.
Hi. We have so
that's
much
a good way to start
news.
A podcast. I have something to talk about. Thank fuck.
Monetize. What can I monetize today? No, because it's really difficult in winter because it's not as if I'm going and doing like really fun things in the sun.
I went to a museum. Like, is that entertaining for you? Do you like that?
I mean, they're listening to like a history podcast, so it probably is, but
yeah, at this time of year I just get more boring and boring and boring. And what about it?
Them's the breaks, kid. I've been rewatching Girls and I can't stop calling people kid because of how he calls her kid.
Who, Adam Driver?
Yeah.
Is that what he says? It's been that long since I've even like seen a highlight for Girls.
I think he's saying kid. I don't know.
I can't hear what he is ever saying. What's his name? I just said it and I've forgotten it.
Adam Driver.
I cannot hear a fucking thing he says. Sorry, my dog's at my bedroom door and she wants in. Sir, a few words. So basically I come feel like a long line of women who have funny dreams, and I normally didn't remember my dreams whatsoever, but I've had two really strange dreams in the last couple of weeks. And since we're, I hate to remind everybody, on the precipice of a recession, I thought I would bring up this one. So I had a dream where I was at some kind of like wildlife reserve or a zoo or a safari park or something. And can anybody remember the Chewits dinosaur? They kind of rebranded him and he looks ugly. Dinosaur or dragon? It's some kind of reptile.
Yeah.
Scaly. They've rebranded him and he looks really fucking ugly. But like, remember the one for like the late 90s, early 2000s? Him. So I was at this wildlife reserve and he was there and he was the last sea species apart from one other Chewits dragon or dinosaur that was out there, and it was my mission to reunite him with the other Chewit dragon or dinosaur so that they could save their species. But it just really made me think because I text Liam and he was like, Chewits are going to fold, and like this is the prophecy that has been foretold. And I was like, no, like seriously. So I just wanted to get it for posterity that if Chewits fold, I did predict it, because I've not heard anything about them since they rebranded the dinosaur.
I mean, you said that and then I was in, I think it's called Food Warehouse or something. It's kind of like Iceland on steroids, I want to say.
Sounds class.
It's all the Iceland stuff, but it has like so much more. Anyway, I was in there and I saw Chewits for the first time in forever. But also I feel like a something being there is kind of like the kiss of death when it comes to confectionery. Like, that's your last stop before you're
what
gone.
What is it called when you hear about something for the first time ever and then you start seeing it everywhere? Maybe that's why you know Institute, because I had brought them up and you'd have done that. This is such a fucking riveting conversation.
Yeah. So that was so wild for me. But like, obviously, yeah, you're right. I was never looking for chips before, but I did buy them and they hold up. I like when you like are eating something and you get like jaw fatigue from eating it, but you can't stop eating it. Like, you know, when your cheeks are like just under your cheekbone. I love that.
I was going to watch Jawbreaker last night. Classic. A very classic film. Very classic. But instead, I've been rewatching Yellow Jackets. Everybody, go and watch Yellow Jackets. If you want my Amazon Prime password, I've just bought season one. I can pass it about if you want. It's so good. Liam, you'd love it. Please watch it so we can talk about Sun.
Has it been cancelled?
No, you're thinking of The Wilds.
Oh, I knew there was something that you liked that was cancelled.
Thanks for bringing it up, though. I seen your face there. You were like, I knew there was something painful that I wanted to taunt you with. Who, me? Charmed.
Did I do that? Yeah. Speaking of revisiting things, you know how I notoriously hate Dune? So even though I disliked the film, I gave another attempt at reading the book.
So brave of you.
It's pretty good so far. However, it is like shockingly exactly like the film. Like, so far, I'm like 17 chapters in and I'm like, every single one of these things pretty much happened in the film. And I was like, maybe it was a long film for a reason. It's a lot of filler. Yeah.
Fantasy films should know where to cut out the crap, though.
Oh.
That was my issue with the Dune film. It was just so fucking long. And yeah, nothing really happened. Like, again, they were world building and you need to world build, but you don't need to world build for 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's my issue.
And my issue with it as well is like, you have less world building you need to do when you're using visuals as well. Like, there are so many things you can just show people. You don't need to say it.
Speaking of reading books, here's a segue. To get off my Mary Queen of Scots hype, I thought I would like do like a cool down with like a fairy tale. And since Liam is busy this week, I thought I'd treat him.
Yeah, I'm graduating tomorrow. Just so everyone knows, send me congratulations and money.
Buy a t-shirt or something.
I'll buy you a coffee. Oh, t-shirts. Yeah, someone won the t-shirt thing. I've been meaning to message them today. But Craigus, if you're listening to this, you won the t-shirt.
DM us and we'll get you some for free. That being said, though, for a fun little girly episode to mourn Mary Queen of Scots, we are going to do a little fairy tale. Right, so we'll take a wee break and I'm going to tell you about Thomas the Rhymer.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thomas Ercildoune, better remembered as Thomas the Rhymer, was a Scottish laird and reputed prophet for Ercildoune. And there's a whole fairy tale that goes along with how he became a poet and a prophet. So here we go. I'm going to get into like proper fairy tale speech. The way that I had to edit this so much because it's like the thou'st and thou'st and all that shit.
Please read it like that, please.
There is some bits that I've left in where it had to be left in. But if you're like, why is Rebecca talking funny? That is why.
I feel like we're all used to that by now.
Me when I make a TikTok, please. Please, it works. Please. So believe me, I believe myself enough. Oh my God, one time I made a TikTok and somebody just went, that accent.
And then I was going to fight the person in the comments and Becca wouldn't let me.
That video got like fucking 20,000 likes, so... If you've ever came to this podcast for TikTok, did you get surprised that it is no, just me speaking really dramatically into my mic, like, Scotland? DM us. let me tell how you got here.
They're not listening anymore.
Anyway, so... all the young men in Scotland in the 13th century, there was no one more gracious and handsome than Thomas Learmont, Laird de Castle Ercildoune near the borders.
Well, if this was the 21st century, he'd have a rival. That being me.
One sunny day, Thomas left his tower and went wandering into the woods that lay about the Huntly Burn. And he threw himself down at the root of a tree to watch the living things around him because he was girly and he liked things like that.
He had his like pen with the fluffy top on it and he was writing down his notes, beating his feet.
As he lay there, he heard the trampling of a horse as it forced its way through the bushes. And looking up, he saw the most beautiful lady that he had ever seen riding towards him on a grey horse. She wore a hunting dress of silk, the colour of fresh spring grass, and her hair was rippling gold, and on her head was a crown of precious stones. So this woman comes riding along on her horse, and her horse's reins are made of beaten gold, and they're all hung with silver bells, so that when she rode along, she made a sound like fairy music. Stevie Nicks. It's given Sisters of the Moon.
In, you hear like... Wait, that song is about a Welsh witch. This is kind of close. We're only like two countries.
You're getting really warm, actually. So on seeing Stevie Nicks on the horse, Thomas feels that he should kneel at the side of the path and worship her because he assumed that she might be the blessed virgin herself. But when the rider comes closer, she understands his thoughts, so she can like read his mind, and she shakes her head sadly and kind of laughs, and she's like, I am not the blessed lady you think I am. Men call me queen, but it is of a faraway country, for I am the queen of fairyland and not the queen of heaven. Yeah, she did it a warning. Everybody go cleanse their rooms. We're going to be talking about the fae. It seemed when she says to Thomas that she's the queen of the fairies that it is actually true, because as soon as she says that, it's like a spell comes at him and it makes him throw away all caution and common sense. But I actually think it might just be because she's sexy.
Yeah, he goes, and his eyes come out of his head.
He knew that it was dangerous for mortals to meddle with the fae, but he was so entranced with the lady's beauty that he begged her to give him a kiss, and she obliged, and they had a little kissy. And as soon as their lips meet, an awful change comes over the woman. Her beautiful dressy silk fades away, leaving her clad in a long grey gown, the colour of ashes. And her beauty seemed to fade away also, and she grew old. And worst of all, her abundant yellow hair went grey before his very eyes and thin. And she saw Thomas's terror and burst into fits of laughter. This really reminded me of that scene in The Shining where Jack Torrance kisses the woman in the bathroom and she turns all old.
Nodding in agreement.
Like, as soon as I read it, I was like, is that like a trope?
Do you think it's... Yeah, I guess it is. It's also in Game of Thrones.
Oh, aye, so it is. Aye. It must be.
Remember when we used to talk about Game of Thrones every week?
No, I can't because it actually upsets me too much.
It traumatizes me.
Anyway, she is cackling because she's revealed that she's actually a hag. And she says, "I am not so fair to look on now as I was at first, but that matters little, for thou hast sold thyself to be my servant for 7 long years, for who kisses the fairy queen must go with her to fairyland and serve her till time has passed."
Yeah, because the kiss is a contract, right? In demonology.
Thomas falls to his knees and begs the queen for mercy, but is fallen on deaf ears, and the fairy queen only laughs at him and just goes away and gets her horse and brings it up and is like, "Right, well,
She's mother.
She says, no, you asked for the kiss and now you must pay the price. So dally no longer and mount behind me, for it is well time that I was gone." With many a sigh and a groan of terror, Thomas mounts behind her on the horse and they gallop off. They left the land of the living behind and came to the edge of a great desert that stretched to the edge of the far horizon, when the queen abruptly stopped her horse and she says, "Now descend to the earth, Thomas, and lay your head on my knee, and I will show you hidden things which cannot be seen by mortal eyes."
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know. So Thomas dismounted and rested his head on the fairy queen's knee, and then when he looked over to the desert again, everything had changed, and he now saw 3 roads lying across the desert which hadn't been there before. And she says, "Listen, and I will tell you where these 3 roads lead to. The first road is broad and even and easy, and there will be many who choose to travel on it. But though it looks like a good road, it leads to a bad end, and the folk that choose it repent their choice forever. And the second road is narrow and hindered by thorns and briars, and there are few who care to ask where it leads. But did they ask, maybe more of them might be stirred up to set along it, for that is the road of the righteous. And although it is hard, it ends in a glorious city." So we're kind of getting like a heaven and hell kind of deal here.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you choose the path of the righteous, it might be hard, but it's worth it. And if you choose to take the easy route, you'll sin and you'll go to hell. This is one of the kind of Scottish fairy tales that has been Christianized.
Yeah.
And then she goes on to explain where the third road is. And she says, "The third road, the bonny road that runs up the brae amongst the ferns, leads to where no mortal knows. Back in where it leads. It leads to fairyland. And that's the road that we'll be taking."
Verbatim, that is what was said in the story, but I can't.
It is actually. She says, "And the third road, the bonny road that runs up the brae amongst the ferns, leads to where no mortal kens, but I ken where it leads." And I'm like, because I say ken all the time, but when I was reading it in this, I was like, this sounds really forced. Anyway. So I chose to say it once.
Yeah, that's a valid criticism. But yeah, I forgot this was a Scottish fairy tale when I said she does not say that. And I'm like, wait, that's valid.
Anyway, so she's like, "If you ever hope to see your Tower of Ercildoune again, take care of your tongue when we reach our journey's end, and speak no single word to anyone but me. For the mortal who opens his lips rashly in fairyland must bide there forever." So they set off down the road to fairyland, and the ferny road that they're taking wasn't actually as nice as it first looked. And they hadn't been riding on it very long when it led them into a narrow ravine which went down under the earth, where there was no light to guide them, and the air was dank and heavy. They were in Edinburgh dungeons. There was a sound of rushing water everywhere, and the horse dived right into it, and it crept up cold and chill, first over Thomas's feet and then over his knees. And if he hadn't been holding on tightly to the fairy's dress, he probably would have drowned. But all things, be they good and bad, pass in time, and the darkness began to lighten, and the light grew stronger until they were back in the sunshine. Thomas kind of bucked up some courage after he's kind of like shiting himself and grabbing on tightly to the fairy queen, being like, "Daily, go with me, please, please, please," when they were in the dark. So when he's in the light, he kind of like, he's feeling a wee bit better, he's feeling a wee bit more himself. And he looks up to see that they're riding through a beautiful orchard where apples and pears and dates and figs and wineberries grew in great abundance.
Oh.
And his tongue was so parched and dry, he felt so faint that he longed for some fruit to restore him. And he stretched out hands to pluck some of it, but the queen turned her saddle and slapped him. and said, "There is nothing safe for you to eat here, save an apple, which I will give to you soon, but if you touch anything else, you will be cursed to remain in Fairyland forever." That classic line that she just keeps saying. So poor wee Thomas has to restrain himself the best he could until they ride upon some apples, and the Fairy Queen plucks him one and hands it to him, and she says, "This I can give you, and I do it gladly, for these apples are apples of truth, and whoso eateth them gaineth this reward, that his lips will never more be able to frame a lie." Thomas took the apple and ate it, and forevermore a spell of truth rested on his lips, and that is why, after years, men called him True Thomas. They only had a little way to go after this before they came in sight of a magnificent castle, and the queen said, "Yonder is my abode," pointing to it proudly. "There dwells my lord and all the nobles of his court. As my lord has a temper and shows no liking for any strange man he sees in my company, I pray, both for your sake and mine, to utter no word to anyone who speaks to you. And if anyone should ask me who and what thou art, I will tell them you are dumb, so that you will pass unnoticed in the crowd." And Thomas is kind of just like, alright. With these words, the lady raised her hunting horn and blew a loud piercing blast, and as she did, a marvellous change came over her again, for her ugly ash-covered gown dropped off of her and her grey hair vanished, and she once more appeared in her green riding skirt and mantle, and her face grew young and fair.
I really thought you were going to say her ugly ass fucking dress.
That time RuPaul looked busted off.
That time the Fairy Queen looked busted off. Yeah, so she got rhinoplasty and such, and then what?
So Thomas glanced downwards and found that his rough country clothes had been transformed into a suit of fine brown cloth, and that his feet wore satin shoes.
Need.
So immediately the sound of the horn rang out and the doors of the castle flew open, and the king hurried out to meet the queen, and he was accompanied by such a number of knights and ladies and minstrels and page boys who paid no attention to Thomas. Everyone seemed very glad to see that their queen was back again, and they crowded into the great hall in her train, and she spoke to them all graciously and allowed them to kiss her hand. Then she passed with her husband to a dais in the very far end of the huge apartment, where two thrones stood and on which the royal pair seated themselves to watch the revels which now began. And poor Thomas stood far away at the other end of the great hall, feeling very lonely and sorry for himself, yet fascinated by the extraordinary scene that he was gazing upon.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. He's just been like dragged to do this for no reason, just because he wanted a kissy. You're going to see why this is mere pointless in a second. So Thomas is standing and he's watching and he's amazed. All the fine ladies and courtiers and knights were dancing in one part of the great hall, and there were huntsmen coming and going in another part, carrying in great antlered deer which had been killed in the chase and throwing them down in heaps on the floor, where there were rows of cooks standing beside ready to cut up the dead animals and cook them. So this is a big party. We've got dancing, we've got disembodying going on. On the same area, a lot of cross-contamination actually. So apparently it was such a fantastic scene that Thomas took no notice of how much time had flew by, but he stood and gazed and never spoke to anybody. And this went on for 3 days. He never moved. He just stood there gazing, covered in piss.
So he was her cuck, or...
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
This is getting very, like gross.
This is the least weird fairy tale that I could find to tell you. You'll see why I'm choosing to tell you in a minute. So, after 3 long days, the queen rose from her throne and, stepping down from the dais, crossed the hall to where he was standing. And she said, "It's time for you to leave, Thomas, if you ever wish to see the fair castle of Ercildoune ever again." Thomas looked at her in amazement and said, "You spoke of 7 long years, lady, and I have been here but 3 days. The queen smiled and said, "Time passes quickly in Fairyland, my friend. You think that you have only been here for 3 days, but it has been 7 years since we two met, and now it is time for you to go. I would like your presence with me longer, but I dare not, for your own sake. For every 7th year, an evil spirit comes from the regions of darkness and carrieth back with him one of our followers, whoever so he chooses, and you're a good fellow, and I fear that he might choose you. So as I would be unwilling to let harm befall you, I will take you back to your own country this very night." And once more, they were on on the horse and they booted it out of there. So they probably could have done with no explaining that whole part.
This is giving like Dune.
It is. There's a lot of world building going on for this thing that's coming up right now.
It is a Tam O'Shanter like party though. That sounded fun. I think we've all been at afters like that though, where it was like, I've only been here a couple hours and it's like Tuesday.
Who among us? So
just me.
They get on the horse and they return to the Elden Tree near the Huntly Burn, and the Queen is saying her goodbyes to Thomas, and as a parting gift he asks her to give him something that would let people know that he had really been to Fairyland. And she said, I have already given you the gift of truth. I will now give you the gifts of prophecy and poetry so that you will be able to foretell the future and also to write wondrous verses. And besides these unseen gifts, here is something that mortals can see with their own eyes. It is a harp that was fashioned in Fairyland. Fare thee well, my friend. Someday, perchance, I will return to get you again. And with these words, the lady vanished, and Thomas was left alone and feeling a little bit sorry for himself once more, because parting with such a radiant being and coming back to the ordinary haunts of men made him quite sad, and that's fair.
If I had been at a party where I was just sitting in the corner and getting pissed on,
covered in animal blood,
I would not be like, oh, I really wish I was there. I'm having serious FOMO, guys.
Also, he's returning back to his castle in the borders that's been empty for 7 years and Nacon's moved in.
Yeah, he's going to post like Instagram pictures of the party, like, take me back.
So he's in his castle for many a long year, and he becomes famed for his poetry and his prophecies, which have spread all over. What the fuck? How long have you been drawing that? I thought you were on your phone and I had to zoom in.
No, I was like thinking about like the fairy lady, and then I thought about Talisa and the female boss, because she's kind of giving.
Oh my god.
She came in on her horse to save pop music and win a Grammy. Katy Perry.
Once again, this is an audio medium. So Liam just held up a piece of paper to his camera that said the female boss, like Talisa's tattoo, Talisa for End Ups. Her and the Fairy Queen, very much alike.
Oh my god.
Do you want to hear some prophecies?
Yeah, sorry, that was.
Where his poetry and his prophecies spreading all over the country, people begin to call him True Thomas and Thomas the Rhymer. I can't write down every single prophecy that he has, but I have two. Do you know what a bannock is? It's a type of like old-fashioned bread, bannock. You know, like the big medieval circle bread that has like a cross in the middle of it? That's a bannock. Right, so Thomas has a prophecy that he wrote down that says, the burn of bread shall run full red, which the burn of bread shall run full red. So he's meaning bannock burn, because it's bed. And that's literally what I thought when I was reading that. I was like, Peter Reed from Peter Heed is deed, Volvo for sale. But he's foretelling the battle of bannock burn, obviously. Bannock being a bread, that is what he means by that. And obviously the Battle of Bannock Burn, the burn at Bannock would be reddened by the blood of the defeated English. What a shame. And he also foretold the union of the crowns of England and Scotland by saying, a French queen shall bear the sun who shall rule Britain to the sea as near as the ninth degree. So this came true in 1603 when King James... son of Mary Queen of Scots became monarch of both countries, and that was entirely unplanned, and I just it made me feel comforted that I picked this one, and here she is.
Our Lady. Our die.
Our Lady. Our Lady who art in heaven. So he spends about 14 years with his prophecies and his poetry and his songs that he plays on his wee harp. And people were beginning to forget that Thomas the Rhymer had ever even been to Fairyland. But at last, a day came when Scotland and England were at war and the Scottish army were resting on the banks of the Tweed, which was not far from the tower at Ercildoune. And the master of the tower demanded to make a feast and invite all the nobles and barons who were leading the army to sup with him. The feast was long remembered, for the Laird of Ercildoune took care of everyone and everything as magnificent as it possibly could be. That night, after all the nobles had gone to their tents, a soldier on guard in the moonlight saw a white hart and hind moving slowly down the road that ran past the camp. a hart and a hind. It's a male and a female deer, basically. And there was something so unusual about the animals that he called his officer to come and look at them. Another soldier says, there's something uncanny about this. Let us send for Thomas Ercildoune. Perchance he might be able to tell us if it's an omen or not. When he heard the boy's message, the seer's face grew grave and warped. And he says, it is a summons from the Queen of Fairyland, and I have waited long for it, and it has come at last. And he went out, and instead of joining the little company of men waiting for him, he walked straight up to the snow white hart and hind. And as soon as he reached for them, they paused for a moment as if to greet him. And then all three slowly moved down a steep bank that sloped into the river. And although a careful search was made, no trace of Thomas Ercildoune was ever found. And to this day, the country folk believe that the hart and the hind were messengers from the elfin queen who had summoned him back to Fairyland. And he lived there happily ever after.
Is he a real person?
Yeah, so Thomas Ercildoune is a real person, and there's like a real bard called Thomas Rhymer, and it's this is the story about how he said he got his powers. Like, he's a real laird, like
Thomas. And there is a
Thomas the Rhymer.
Rhymer? I don't even know her.
I one wanted today a popular ballad for the Borders called Tam Lin, because it's fairy abduction kind of thing, which is like always a good story, but it's no long enough. I would probably do it one day, but it's no long enough, so I wanted to like something to fill your lugs, so thought I would go with this one. And also because he's a prophet, and next week next episode we're gonna day the brand seer, so I was like, I can't even bother getting into that right now, so what can I fill with? So I decided to fill with this one, and I thought it was quite nice. It was a bit
the perfect segue from Mary to the brand seer,
because there's a wee step in between. It's so nice. I actually felt really comforted when she was on the pages. I was like, oh no, Mary Queen of Scots. But yes, apparently Thomas Rhymer was a real person, or there at least was a laird in Ercildoune, I hope I'm saying that right, who did apparently have prophecies and was a bit of a bard. So maybe he just made this up and it stuck, which I appreciate. I'm going to start making things up about myself. Actually, I already do that. I just lie to see what sticks.
Literally, and then people believe it. Like,
yeah, it's horrible though when you like lie. What a white lie so much, because I just lie all the time to my manager specifically. Not about anything important, just about random shit. There were one time they were like, oh, Rebecca, you must go to India. And I was like, I have never been to India. But sometimes I'll get caught in it. Like one time I lied about something, and then I actually got asked about it the other day. I'm not going to say what I lied about because it was actually quite bad. But it got brought up and I was like, what are you talking about? And they were like, remember when you said? And I was like, oh, that.
I lie about things. Like, I like say I'm the most beautiful person in the world, and then now it's true.
It's true.
Prophetic.
Thomas Rhymer made up that he went to Fairyland, and then he actually did. They were like, you called? And he was like, oh, for fucks.
That would happen to me. That's why I'm so careful about saying things like that.
Anyway, that has been the Creepy Wee Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod, Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, merch is at thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk, and then you can email us at thecreepyweepodcast@gmail.com.
Welcome to burlesque. I couldn't think of a poem from burlesque.
I thought you were just going to go, why are we over too sweet?
Cher actually sponsors this podcast.
It's actually weird if we asked.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.